for the proclamation of the word.
Good morning. The first reading today is taken from Exodus chapter 33, beginning at the 12th verse. Moses said to the Lord, "You have been telling me, 'Lead these people,' but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, 'I know you by name, and you have found favor with me.' If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways, so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people." The Lord replied, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Then Moses said to him, "If your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth?" And the Lord said to Moses, "I will do the very thing you have asked, because I am pleased with you, and I know you by name." Then Moses said, "Now show me your glory." And the Lord said, "I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. But," he said, "you cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live." Then the Lord said, "There is a place near me where you may stand on a rock. When my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft in the rock and cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will remove my hand and you will see my back, but my face must not be seen." This is the word of the Lord.
Please be seated. Well, good morning again. Have you ever had the experience of, after pouring your heart and soul into something, to have it just disintegrate before your very eyes? It's one of the best things about the human experience, right? I remember years ago when I was working to build Safe Harbor, a youth shelter for kids in St. John, we had this beautiful vision of what we wanted to do. We wanted to provide emergency housing for up to 10 kids, not to keep them in the shelter, but so that they could be taken from an unsafe situation and that they would be part of a continuum of care with programs and places that already existed in the city. So the idea is that they would come in, they get stabilized, we'd get them into education programs and employment programs and detox programs, and they would stay at Safe Harbor for maybe 3 months before they were in more independent living with supervision. That was the goal. We killed ourselves trying to put that together. And then when it finally came to fruition, we had a group come in which was quite content to leave 10 kids just sitting around all day for up to, until they aged out of the program, 25. And we were just devastated. We thought, what was that for? But then fast forward 10 years or so, a new group is running Safe Harbor, now called Beacons Cove, and they're doing what the original plan was. They're trying to get kids stabilized and out into more independent living situations. It's like, thank you, Lord, finally. It can be devastating when we invest of ourselves and then have just sort of go off the rails. And we need to remember that with the first reading today from Exodus, that's exactly what happened with the Hebrew people. God had sent Moses into Egypt. There were the 10 plagues. Then there was this mighty deliverance. They came to the Red Sea. God provided for them. They came through the Red Sea. And this is the moment that the marriage was kind of happening. How many people here watch Hallmark videos, the Christmas movies? Okay, I want you to time this. The first kiss in those movies happens 5 minutes before the end of the movie. Time it. It might be 3 minutes, but I think it's five. Okay, they keep you waiting that whole time through the bad acting and the ugly Christmas sweaters for that one kiss. Now imagine you get there after 2 hours of pain. And you find out that one, the love interest was not only unfaithful, but that he was actually unfaithful to the other person with a cow. That'd be a little embarrassing, wouldn't it? But that's exactly what happened. We read it last week. There was this, basically, Moses was going up, filling out the wedding register, and he comes down to find out the people had thrown away Yahweh, and they were worshiping a golden cow. But a beautiful cow is still a cow. Right? The whole thing just fell to pieces, and the camp was in chaos. They were having revelry and drunkenness and all kinds of stuff that goes along with that. The camp was out of control. And Moses went to people who were restraining themselves and said, "Reclaim order of this camp." And do you know what they did? They strapped on a sword and they ran through that camp until it was brought into order. The reading today is from the morning after. I've never been much of a party animal, but I've heard confessions from a lot of people who were. And there was that always that remorse and regret the next morning, right? What have I done? And this is what's happening. And God said, "I can't go on with these people. I can't lead these people. They're too stiff-necked. If I go with them, I'm gonna take them out. I can't handle them." But he'll say, "I'll send somebody else. I'll send an angel or something." So we're at this point where the God project of operating through the Hebrew people was hanging by a thread. And if for us to really understand what that project was, we need to go back to Genesis 12, where God made a promise to Abraham, and he said, "If you follow me, I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed." That's God's intent through Israel. I don't want to comment on how they're doing. But that was the intent. And here in Exodus 33, they forgot and they threw it away. A lot of us are discouraged with many things in life right now. We're really struggling with what we're seeing happening in our society around us, the uncertainty, the poverty, the addiction. And it's enough for us just to throw up our hands and say, "This is all useless." If that is you today, that was Moses thousands of years ago. That was Yahweh thousands of years ago. And when it was all right down in that moment, Moses made an appeal to Yahweh and says, "Do you love me? Do you delight in me? Do you know me? Because I don't want to follow your call without you." We often make the mistake in our calling as Christians to think that we need to know about the Bible or about God. But our calling is to actually know God and to be known by God and to make God known. But it's when we are in the knowing that we are fulfilling our calling. When we are discouraged, what do we do? I think that we need to take a page out of Moses' book and actually pray boldly to God and say, "This is what's happening, and I need you to enter into my mess and my darkness to bring your light, to bring your peace, to bring your direction, and all that we need from him." I just want to read this verse. "You said, 'I know you by name, and you have found favor with me. If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways so that I may know you and continue to find favor in you, with you. Remember, too, based on that, that this nation is yours." They're your people. I just love that friendship he had with God, that he could be so bold and then say, "Well, if you care about me, you're going to care about my people, because this is why we're here." One of the things that's so important in our world today is this notion of identity, how I identify. This is nothing new for the people of God. Right from the beginning, our identity was wrapped up in the presence and the person of God. And if we lose his presence in our life, then who are we? We're just one more voice in a world full of voices. And in our society right now, it's a world of voices just screaming about me, me, me. So this bold prayer that Moses gives hits the mark. And the Lord replied, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. I will fulfill my promises to you." Then Moses goes on and gets bold again, and he says, "Well, if you don't, then don't take us up from here, because it's not worth it, remember? And how will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you are with us? What else could distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the earth?" We got to ask ourselves a hard question as a church. And it's this: are we wanting to reflect the character of Jesus to the world, or do we want to reflect the way of the world to the world? Are we going to embody self-giving love of pouring ourselves out for the betterment of our neighbor? And that means giving sacrificially to our neighbor in need. Or are we just going to look for worldly success and impress people with how together we have it with the masks that we put on every day? We have a calling to know Jesus, to know the commandments of God, and to walk in them in love. Moses is given a response: "I will do the very thing you have asked because I'm pleased with you and I do know you by name." And here we get to the heart of the passage: show me your glory. Glory in the Bible is seeing God for who he truly is, who is wonderful. And God affirms his desire to be with the people here. I've got to confess, like, I've known God all my life. That I've always had a sense of the Father with me. I was saying earlier, way back when I lived in Perth Andover with your mom, I had a sense of God. But I didn't really want to invest in that until I was a teenager. And one day I was upstairs in my mom's house, and I was having this intimate time, this intimate season with Jesus, and I stupidly prayed, "God, would you show me just how much you love me?" And he did. Well, I think he did. But there was just this immense presence and this immense love that was incomprehensible and was far vaster than I could even get my mind around. And I just felt so insignificant next to that love. It was so big. Moses cries out in this dark, awful morning after moment and says, "I need to see your glory. I need to see you for who you really are." Because it is his presence. It is in his character that sustains us in the darkness and in the despair. It is he who leads us. We don't have to figure out things for ourselves. The Lord has promised his Holy Spirit to fill us and to guide us and to empower us for the mission we've been called to. Do we believe it? In our need, we are to cry out to God. And I think that that's that immense presence of God, that's kind of what's happening here when God shows his glory to Moses. And it's this wrapped up with, yeah, I'm going to do this, but there's all kinds of mystery. How does God cover someone up with their hand? And why can we only see the back of God? Like, what is going on there? There's a lot of questions, a lot of mystery, but we can trust that God is giving Moses what he's able to receive, not what he can't receive. And there's something wonderful and beautiful in all of this. But I want to stress something, that this is what he chooses to reveal in this moment. "I will have mercy on those I have mercy on, and I will show compassion to those who need compassion, that I have compassion on." This is the morning after. We're feeling guilt. We're feeling remorse, all kinds of things. And God wants to say, I forgive you. I have compassion for your weakness and your brokenness. I can't stand it when people say there's no grace in the Old Testament. Because this here points directly to the cross, where Jesus does not turn away, but enters fully into the messed up world we've made, right into the heart of it, and is pinned to a cross so that he could take our place in order for us to continue in relationship with God. When we are feeling discouraged and remorseful or guilty, when we are hurting and we have lost our hope, we are invited to say, God, show me your glory. Jesus, fill me with your light. Jesus, give me hope. Because you show compassion for our weakness and you mercifully forgive us when we mess up so that we might have relationship with you. So can I encourage us to call out when we are feeling hopeless? Can I encourage us to say, I want to follow, lead, but be with me in the going? Lord Jesus, show us your glory. Amen.